Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group that wants Wisconsin's elections administrator impeached is setting its sights on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a new TV and newspaper advertisements in Milwaukee. The ads are paid for by a group calling itself the Wisconsin Elections Committee, based in Racine County. It makes debunked claims against Megan Wolf and threatens to unseat Voss if he doesn't impeach her. Governor Evers admits he hasn't visited any state prisons recently, even though three inmates have died in 4 months. Prisoners in Waupun, Green Bay, and Stanley have had to stay in their cells around the clock since March due to staffing shortages. Families say they're concerned about their mental and physical health. Evers says his corrections secretary visits the Waupun prison every day. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The recent death of 5-year-old Prince McCree in Milwaukee has prompted a state official to advocate for changes in the alert system for missing children. While a critical missing alert was issued for Prince when he went missing, an Amber Alert was not activated. His body was later found in a dumpster near his home, leading to murder charges against two people who lived with him. State Senator LaTanya Johnson is currently working on a reform measure aiming for bipartisan support. Some parents in New Berlin found a pack of THC-infused gummies disguised as regular Halloween candy in their children's trick-or-treat stash. Police say the packaging of the deceptive treats known as Stony Patch Kids bear a resemblance to the popular Sour Patch Kids. While law enforcement consider the incident to be an isolated case, they're strongly urging all parents to thoroughly examine their children's candy. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks get crushed by the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Raptors in Toronto, 130-111. Toronto shot 56% from the field, hit 15 three-point shots, and were 13 out of 14 from the foul line. What happened defensively to the Bucks? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Defensively? I didn't think we did a good job as far as keeping the ball in front, you know, too many points in the paint as far as kick out threes.
The Bucks return to Milwaukee to host the New York Knicks Friday night, tip-off time 6:30. NFL, the Packers host the Rams Sunday, but LA's quarterback Matthew Stafford, struggling with a thumb injury, Brett Rippon, could start at quarterback. Now, he's the nephew of quarterback Mark Rippon, who led Washington to a Super Bowl win in 1991. The Packers trying to break a 4-game slump, wide receiver Christian Watson.
I just want to find a way to win. You know, I've never been okay with losing. I want to compete. I want to win. You just got to find a way to do it.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with a low of 35.
Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 49. 35 tomorrow night, cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. This is the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. I want to finish up the last segment before we go on to the next one that we were talking about. The last caller had talked about her feelings about dual loyalties on the part of people in the Congress who are voting for aid for Israel. I think we have to establish some facts here. That charge has most recently been leveled against Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Jamila Priyapal, Andre Carson, and other Muslims that are in the Congress. And I think that's wrong, too. But when it comes to aid for Israel, remember a few things. The strongest proponents of aid to Israel, the reason why it occurs in the first place, is a bipartisan commitment by people who are overwhelmingly not Jewish. They really are not. Number two, Bobby Kennedy was one of the great senators and would have been a great president. I'm a huge fan of the Kennedys. I met Teddy Kennedy. I was his Milwaukee County chairman of his 1980 campaign for president. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated by a Palestinian because he advocated sending planes to Israel. So the point is, this business of dual loyalty, I think, is sometimes said and so forth. It's not true. I mean, it really is not true. I've met a lot of members of Congress and of the Senate, Jewish, non-Jewish, the whole range. And I can tell you that there's no dual loyalty. The people in the Congress care about the United States. I think there is a problem, and this is something I hit very heavily on the show, about the Trump wing of the party and their attacks on liberal democracy. And that I am adamant about and will continue to talk about. But in terms of ethnic or religious loyalties, I do not believe that exists. And I think it's a subject that if it is discussed, it's lately quite frequently applied to the other side. And I think that's wrong, too. We're going to the lines. Dave in Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dave. What's in your mind today?
Yeah, I just want to address a few of the things, if I could, that some of the callers said. I heard the word apartheid a couple times. You know, if Israel is an apartheid state, how is it that 20% of its citizens, full citizens, are Palestinians, are Arabs? They serve in the Israeli Knesset. They, you know, the Druze Arabs are primarily the border patrols made up of Druze Arabs. You know, when I was going to Tel Aviv University years ago, I lived in the dorms of Tel Aviv University with two Arabs. One was studying to be an attorney, was going to Tel Aviv University Law School, and the other to be a biologist. So, you know, I really don't think it's an apartheid state at all. And, you know, they're on the Israeli Supreme Court. You know, as far as dual loyalty, for thousands of years, anti-Semites, anti-Semitic governments have used this dual loyalty sort of as a justification to do exactly what Hamas did just recently when they attempted to when they ethnically cleansed 1,400 people that would live in Israel in their so-called operation. As far as Israel, the area being once called Palestine, this was part of the Ottoman Empire. There has never been a Palestinian state. There's never been a Palestinian capital. There's never been a Palestinian government. There's never been a Palestinian head of government or head of state. As far as Gaza, and you know, someone mentioned that, oh, they're under the thumb of the Israelis. They're not under the thumb of the Israelis. In fact, this has nothing to do with Israel. Israel is just defending itself. When Israel withdrew from Gaza in 2006, thank you. The parties agreed to allow the Palestinians to control the border largely, as long as you had some, you had cameras there that the Israelis could monitor. And you also had something called, people can look it up, the European Union Border Assistance Mission. And that was really going well. And over time, the Palestinians probably would have controlled that completely. It was designed to build up trust on both sides so that the Palestinians would ultimately control it and we'd ultimately have peace. What happened was the Hamas came in there. The European Border Assistance Mission couldn't work with terrorists because they didn't want to be killed themselves. Hamas came in there. They destroyed all the cameras that were there. And then they took full control of the Gaza Strip and started smuggling everything in there in order to kill Jews. They have 300 miles of tunnels that are designed to do what? To ethnically cleanse Israel from what they call the from the Jordan or the river to the sea. And, you know, you constantly hear that from protesters. And I'll defer to you now.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for that call. Excellent facts, and I agree with you, and thank you for the call. And yeah, let me just maybe leave it at this, although I do invite other calls. This is an open mic. Anybody can call on any subject, and no subjects are out of bounds. But it's important to remember one thing. Israel has never committed genocide. It's been genocided itself. Israel is not an apartheid state. It has been subject to apartheid, put in ghettos, for instance, not only in Europe, but also in Islamic countries. Israel wants peace. They have offered many times, including under Bill Clinton, to have a separate Palestinian state. They only asked for one thing. They didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for equipment. They simply said, would you agree in the charter of your state, as we agree in the charter of our state, that Israel has a right to exist? And they wouldn't do it because they were afraid of assassination by jihad. Hamas is part of Islamic Jihad. So is ISIS. So is Al-Qaeda. So is Al-Shabaab. The reason for the attack on October 7 was orchestrated by Iran, trained in Iran. They wanted to interfere with the possibility of recognition by Saudi Arabia of Israel in return for a security guarantee and some civilian nuclear technology. There are a billion and a half Muslims in the world. 90% of them are Sunni Muslims. 10% are Shiite Muslims. The only dispute between them really is a dispute that goes back to the 7th century when the prophet died, who was to take his place, One side said it had to be a blood relative, and the other side said it could just be a good devout Muslim. And they have, for 1,400 years, killed each other over that. Reminds me of the religious wars after the Reformation in the 16th and 17th centuries in Europe. Europe's put that behind them. Islam has not put that behind itself. I hope it does. It's important to know the history of all this. And David gave a very good synopsis of everything. There are 9 million people in Israel. They're not all Jewish. 20% of them are Arabs, mostly Muslim. They're fully integrated in Israeli society. They wouldn't want to live anywhere else in the Middle East. They have freedom. They can speak what they want, read what they want, they have jobs. They're loyal citizens of Israel. One of the saddest stories I remember, among many sad stories from the October 7 attack, was that one of the guards, as David said, was an Arab Muslim in the Israeli service. And he was captured by Hamas and brutally tortured for being a, quote, traitor, end quote. The genocide is not on the part of Israel. It's on the part of Islamic Jihad. The apartheid is not on the part of Israel. It's on the part of Islamic Jihad. And we, unfortunately, improvidently, have let a lot of that into this country. You saw after October 7, there were these demonstrations in New York. People got up. They were gleeful. They laughed. They carried swastika signs, flags, and they marched down to the Israeli embassy to taunt. And reporters covering it said it was as if they'd won a soccer match for their side. One of the main speakers said, look, here's what happened. A bunch of hipsters were having a party in the desert, and the resistance swooped in and took some of them. But they're fine, no matter what the newspapers tell you. That is making light of sadism. And so when you talk about Israel bombing Hamas, they have to do that, close down these tunnels, kill all of Hamas. They're embedded everywhere among civilians on purpose. But remember the culture of Gaza. When they paraded the naked, tortured Israeli girl through the streets in a pickup truck, there was a mob around it. Wherever they went, gleeful, shouting Allah Akbar and spitting on her. Now, unfortunately, her dead body. The bombing can stop immediately if Hamas releases the hostages. There are 240 of them left. They're releasing them piecemeal. People were exulting that Palestinian Americans, American citizens who were there, many of them were just released. But Israeli Americans who were kidnapped have not been released. Two, I think, were released. But there are a lot more still there. What about them? If the people in Gaza are opposed to Hamas, whom they voted for, they can rise up, demand that Hamas release all the hostages and stop bombing Israel. And Israel has said that they will stop the bombing right away. It's very important to understand all this context. I appreciate all the calls. They're very welcome. And I look forward to getting more in the future. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Tis the season for Village Hearth Dinner Rolls. Not only are a warm basket of fresh brown and serve or sweet Hawaiian pull-apart rolls the perfect accompaniment to holiday meals, they make great little sandwiches for a quick and easy lunch or dinner. Visit VillageHearthBreads.com for slider recipes, including chicken buffalo, pizza, and currywurst. Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I was talking before we discussed the Middle East about Donald Trump's sons testifying in New York in Letitia James's fraud trial. Donald Trump finished up today. Eric Trump was on the stand when I went on the air. I got a little synopsis of his initial testimony. Obviously, we're on the air, so I'm not going to have it fully until this show is over today, but here are some of the lowlights. Donald Trump got up there. Donald Trump Jr., I should say. He said, I don't know anything about accounting. There's a concept in accounting called generally accepted accounting principles. GAAP, it's called. Two A's, GAAP. I don't know what that's all about. Alan Weisselberg was responsible. He's the CFO, the chief financial officer. He says that he didn't know anything. He doesn't remember reviewing anything. It's all about the accountants. He was asked, well, are you superior to Weisselberg in the structure of the corporation? In other words, does he have to answer to you? Which the answer is yes, of course. He said, I don't know. I never did anything without him. Nobody here but us chickens, boss. He was paid $2 million a year. He was a trustee for this corporation. He had a fiduciary obligation to look out for the interests of the corporation, the people they were dealing with, and making sure that their financial statements were true and accurate. Eric Trump is not a director. Eric Trump is, not, I should say, not a trustee. Donald Trump was, but he was the guy, the line officer who ran the company. What happens is they cooked the books for decades, inflating the assets of the corporation by several billion dollars to get more favorable loan terms than they should have gotten in the normal course of business. Now, here is some of Eric Trump's testimony. I did not work on financial statements, he said this morning. Did you know you had a thing called financial? Hey, what is this? Is this Mike Johnson who doesn't even know what a bank account is? All right. Well, yeah, I knew we had financials. I was personally unaware of the financials. Then they showed him emails. The Trump Organization was going to buy a golf course in North Carolina. Before it was sold, the golf course wanted to be assured that they'd be paid and that the purchaser, the Trumps, had the money to maintain it and promote it. Guy flies to New York. He meets with Eric Trump. This is all in emails. Eric Trump shows them the financials. The worst thing was, the Trump Organization threatened to sue Forbes. Forbes puts out this list of, it can be the 500, the 400 wealthiest people in the country. And, you know, somebody like Jeff Bezos or Gates or, Elon Musk will be number one, depending on the year. But people with, you know, 3 million bucks will be number 399, 3 billion, I should say. Trump always wanted to be on the Forbes list. There's a big prestige things with him. So they threatened to sue Forbes for leaving them off the list. Forbes sent them an email. And they said, we think your financials are fraudulent. Here's one example. The apartment at Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue. And I've walked by Trump Tower many times on Fifth Avenue. Beautiful building. You said it was 30,000 square feet. But we've looked at the property tax assessments and we've looked at the real estate records, only 10,000 square feet. So it's not worth $300 or $400 million, which is what a 30,000 square foot joint on Fifth Avenue might be. It's not even 10% of that. Donald Trump Jr. then spread that around saying, look at this. Now he says, I don't remember. I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. Now, here is the problem for the Trumps. Any lawyer who has tried cases, I tried cases for 40 years, 38 years. Judges and lawyers can tell who's lying. The reason I said before that I think that Don Sr., i.e. crooked Donald Trump running for president, was wrong from his own point of view. I'm glad he did it this way, but he didn't ask for a jury trial. He had the right to. Now he's lying and said that they're denying it to him. They're not denying it to him. He waived it. Is because there's no judge, no judge and no lawyer who's going to sit there and believe that either of these two sons of his are telling the truth. One's a trustee. The other one is, in effect, the CEO, certainly the president of the company running it. There are emails all over the place. I just gave you a couple of examples. They're not the only examples. Of a paper trail of them discussing financial statements, being warned in one case by Forbes, at least one case, that they're fraudulent, and nevertheless under oath in New York in a civil case, lying about it. Now, will they get prosecuted? Perjury is a prosecutable offense. Both of them held up their hands and they were sworn in, said, so under penalty of perjury, that they're going to tell the truth. Here is a very little known fact. I've never heard of a perjury conviction in a civil case. I've taken many depositions. People lied all the time. In a criminal case, it can happen, but then there has to be some consequential reason for joining it with another count, another criminal charge. The problem is that both of these kids of his, they're grown men, could be charged with perjury for what they said yesterday and today. Don Jr. over 2 days, Eric Trump today. But then you have to expend the resources, have prosecutorial staff do the work, bring the charge, they'll oppose it, then another jury, and if they have any brains this time, they'll ask for a jury. The issue won't be whether the financials were truthful or not. The issue will be beyond a reasonable doubt. Could the jury believe that these people might have been mistaken and therefore not criminally culpable? So they don't get prosecuted. My own feeling is that they should have been prosecuted for these fraudulent financials. But remember, Alvin Bragg took a dive, remember, a year and a half ago? They were about to do it under Cy Vance, the previous DA. Alvin Bragg said, no, not enough evidence. You kidding me? Some of the best prosecutors in New York were temporarily on the staff to do it. So there you have it. We'll see what happens. I have a very strong feeling that the judge is not buying this, knows they're lying, and the ultimate decision is going to be very, very costly for Trump. We're going to break. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. There's a bit of a break. Come back from the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you, don't hang up, and I'll get back to you right after the break.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
the Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to end race-based considerations in higher education programs take another step. The Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee takes up a bill today. Among other things, it would guarantee admission to Wisconsin State Universities and Technical College for high school students who graduate in the top 5% of their class. It would also take race out of the equation for financial aid decisions. Governor Evers says he's leaning on Senate Democrats to get an American Family Field Maintenance Bill passed. Democrats have said they don't like that the bill spends almost $500 million in public money, but asks for much less from the Milwaukee Brewers. The governor says he's persuaded some Democrats to vote for the bill. He says any significant changes might kill Democratic support. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. While negotiations about baseball stadium funding continues, Governor Tony Evers has decided on his own to send almost $10 million of state money to Milwaukee for a new soccer stadium. The governor has announced the allocation of $9.3 million for the development of a new soccer stadium in the Iron District. The governor is investing $36 million in building projects across the state, which were previously not funded by the Wisconsin State Legislature. After being closed for over 3 years, there's a plan to reopen the Rosebud Cinema in Wauwatosa. It shut down in March of 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. WISN 12 News reports that the owner is aiming for a Christmas reopening. The intention is to relaunch as a first-run theater featuring newly released movies. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Bucks get crushed by the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Raptors in Toronto, 130-111. Toronto shot 56% from the field, hit 15 three-point shots, and were 13 out of 14 from the foul line. What happened defensively to the Bucks? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Defensively? I didn't think we did a good job as far as keeping the ball in front, you know, too many points in the paint as far as kick out threes.
The Bucks return to Milwaukee to host the New York Knicks Friday night, tip-off time 6:30. NFL, the Packers host the Rams Sunday, but LA's quarterback Matthew Stafford, struggling with a thumb injury, Brett Rippon, could start at quarterback. Now, he's the nephew of quarterback Mark Rippon, who led Washington to a Super Bowl win in 1991. The Packers trying to break a four-game slump, wide receiver Christian Watson.
I just want to find a way to win. You know, I've never been okay with losing. I want to compete. I want to win. You just got to find a way to do it.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with a low of 35. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 49. 35 tomorrow night, cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up. I'll get to you right away. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're first. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. First thing I want to thank you for your radio program, your 2 hours. It's awesome. There's history in it, truth in it, and it's probably, in my mind, a top-rated radio show on the air because you take all callers and it's truthful. Unlike right-wing radio, it's just full of so much hate anymore. I don't... I applaud one of your callers who calls in and takes them to task. That's an awesome thing also. As long as I'm at it, you have totally awesome callers also.
You can Thank you, Paul.
Listen to your you can sit and listen to your radio program, not even call in, and learn stuff on a daily basis. But I want to get to this Trump thing. The man, like you said, is crooked as a dog's hind leg. I think that's a pretty cool saying. Criminal at best. And I don't know if the wealthy people applauded his tax cuts and they stick by him. I mean, mine are sunsetted, so I'm going to get nothing here shortly. Or what it is, his following. Because one of the biggest things about I don't want to be a hate monger either, but the unending death threat and the threats against people, that alone should be enough for you to give up on this man. It's just not, you should never be able to run a political party where you're trying to work. Myself as a center-left person or a person from the Madison area, I don't want to get beat up or something because they've got so much hate just because I have my opinion. And it's ridiculous. And you said, we definitely need two political parties in this country. But right now we only have one because these people went along with the megas and it needs to stop. And I don't care if you're talking about aid to Ukraine, that people need to be helped out. You can respectfully disagree with that stuff. Thanks for your program anyway. And thanks to everybody that calls in the Matt's program. You have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it. Next up, Pete from Middleton, my friend. What's in your mind today, Pete?
It's actually Keith, K-E-I-T-H, Matt. How you doing today?
Real good, Pete. Thank you. What's up?
Good. Hey, so I'm just wondering, I don't know if I missed it earlier in the show or not, but what's your take on 31 Democrats voting against getting George Santos out of there?
Yeah, we were so busy today, I didn't get to the Santos thing. I think it's two things. One is the people that wanted him out. This is a little inside baseball where the Republicans in New York, because they're deathly afraid they'll lose. And I have a feeling some Democrats voted against it to keep him in because he's so weird and such a liar that he's a constant reminder of how bad the Republican Party is. I just think it's absolute political inside baseball. And I don't much care for that, but that's what happened. Thanks for calling. Tim of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Tim?
Yeah, about Donald Jr. testifying there, I thought I heard somewhere that he had said that he went to college, and if he graduated from college, I thought they said he was in business, it would seem that he would have had to take an accounting course, and if you take an accounting course, I would think that that gap, generally accepted principles, he would have had some exposure and would have had to have passed the course, for school. Right. Why didn't they ask him if he took that course and graduated?
Well, they did. And this is worse. You're not going to believe this. He went to Wharton, University of Pennsylvania. Wharton at one time, and maybe still, is considered the best business school in the country, along maybe Harvard Business School, that kind of thing. And they asked him, did you ever hear about Gap? He said, oh yeah. He said, what do you remember about it? He said, not much, I swear. But what you didn't hear about in these stories, and then I'll get to the next caller, but what you didn't hear about these stories is that he not only, as a trustee, he had to sign a document saying that he had reviewed his accountant's work and he found that there were accounting safeguards imposed that gave him confidence in the financials. This judge is going to fry him. Believe me, he will fry him. Wharton School, he took a course in Gap. doesn't remember. People aren't going to buy that. Thanks a lot for calling. Joe Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Joe?
Thanks, Matt. Great show as always. I wanted to return to Senator Tuberville again. There's quotes from him today talking to CNN reporters, making the comment that commenting on this Marine Commandant General, I believe his name is Eric Smith, who had been working 18 to 20 hours a day with what's going on in the world. Mr. Tuberville said that he made light of it. He said, "I did that for years. That's really not a big deal. I did it for years." I'd like to make a comment about that and then ask a question of you. First of all, I find it, call me picky, but it seems to me that there's a big difference between being a college football coach and a Marine Commandant. I mean, simply by the number of people that are under your control, if you will. I mean, I looked it up and I may be wrong on college teams, but it's around 100 people all in all on, you know, players on the team. And for the number of active duty Marines, I found a figure of 177,000 active duty Marines. Kind of a difference in numbers myself. I feel that there's a difference in number and also a difference in terms of what the responsibility is. Winning a football game or keeping us safe in the world militarily seems like it's kind of different. So we're getting to a situation where this guy is refusing to budge, even when there's people like Lindsey Graham, railing at him. And it would seem to be that Lindsey Graham would be the perfect person to say, enough of this, let's just go to a majority vote and get rid of this. You know, one person can be this obfuscation. However, it hasn't happened. And it leads me to believe that it hasn't happened for a reason. Stephen Miller has been vetting lawyers for the next Biden administration left and right. We have got Mike Johnson, as you described him, the fascist fist in a velvet glove, who seems very content to just sort of let government collapse. And then we've got this idiot football coach mucking with our military. They're projecting that in a month or so, it's going to be close to 90% of the military will be affected by his actions. Do you sort of feel like the game is in play to just, as you said, go for complete chaos? I'd be interested in your reactions. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, very well said and good factual layout. I'm disgusted with Tuberville, and here's what I think is happening, and here's a possible solution. The Republicans, like Lindsey Graham, they go, oh, it's terrible what he's doing. Joni Ernst of Iowa, oh, he's a terrible guy, this one and that one. But all we need is nine of them to agree, along with 51 Democrats, really 49 Democrats, and then Sinema. Is an independent, and then Angus King of Maine is an independent. They vote with the Democrats. Nine of them to reach 60 and pick them off by chunks. There are 370 or 80 left. Put them in chunks of 45 or 50 and do it 7-8 times. And it ain't great because you'll end up taking a half a day on each one, but at least you can get it done. The Republicans won't do it. The Republicans won't do it. They're lying. Ron Johnson is for Tuberville. The thing that I, and these are my friends, the Democrats, none of them have even discussed a resolution to censure or expel Tuberville for being a white supremacist and knifing our military. None of them so far has put in a resolution to suspend unanimous consent for military promotions and ambassador appointments. None of them. I had suggested, and I was not alone, many other people had suggested, on the filibuster with voting rights, remember that? The John Lewis bill? Get rid of gerrymandering, standardized federal voting around the country. Get rid of the filibuster for just that one bill. You can do that. Little known fact, a simple majority can change the rules of the Senate and the House. Simple majority can change the rules of the Senate and the House. And if the parliamentarian objects, you can replace the parliamentarian. 51 votes in the Senate, for instance, controls. But none of them will do it. Somebody has put in a proposal, a bill, right now, that would say, well, what we're going to do is we are going to get rid of this unanimous consent for 30 days for military promotions, but they're going through a lot of other hoops that they don't have to go through. The fact is the Senate is broken. And it's the Democrats as well as the Republicans. Who's your Bob, my friend, from Indiana? You're next. What's your mind? Who's your Bob?
Matt, how are you doing?
Good, Bob. What's up?
Do you believe in coincidence?
No, I practiced law too long to believe in coincidence. What do you got on your mind?
Okay, good. Dan Jr. went to Wharton?
Right.
Well, yeah, so did Daddy.
Right.
I remember in 16 when Daddy got elected, and I only heard it once, but he immediately had all of his records taken out of Wharton.
Okay, go ahead.
That's just too weird. I can accept the fact that Don Sr. could not crayon his way onto the first page in a Wharton homework class. But now all of a sudden we got problems with Don Jr. going to Wharton. Something's fishy.
Well, they have an in there, Bob. The girl, the daughter, by his second wife, who you never see. She's smart. She got married. She figures I don't need any of this, and she doesn't hang around the family. She went to the University of Pennsylvania too. Wharton is just one of the schools in the University of Pennsylvania. University of Pennsylvania is an Ivy League college, very fine college. My dad was a professor. He taught a few courses there at one time while he was on the faculty at Rutgers University in New Jersey. So it's a fine university. Wharton is an excellent business school. It has a national reputation. But I didn't know it till John Jr. said that when he was on the stand just now. So where do you go to school? He said, I went to Wharton. Okay. If he's lying about that, how bad is that? That's very stupid. I don't think he is lying about that because his half-sister is going there. And his dad, as you say, his dad went to Fordham University in New York his first 2 years. Then he transferred to Wharton. And both are fine universities. Wharton is an excellent university. But not everybody who graduates with a business degree from Wharton is honest. Some of them look on it as a how-to-do-it course to commit fraud, and that's what the Trumps did. But I don't believe he doesn't know what GAP is. I don't believe he doesn't remember. He is a trustee. That's a fiduciary position where he was required to review and certify in writing that he'd reviewed the accounting protocols and safeguards being used to prepare the financial statements. And it's not just that he certified the financial statements were correct. He's certifying that the accounting protocols and safeguards leading up to the preparation of the financial statements were correct. And to have, you know, Eric Trump go up there and say financial. Yeah, I've heard of him. I've heard the term. I mean, that'd be like Mike Johnson saying, you know, I've heard of checking accounts. Don't have one. Come on, guys. What kind of guys do we have? What kind of guys do we have running this government and running corporations? Listen, if somebody who is the head of IBM said that, IBM stock would fall in half. The Trump Organization is not a publicly held company, but they are required under the law to prepare and to certify accurate financial statements. Failure to do that is a criminal offense. That's what Alvin Bragg took a dive on that I didn't like. But it's certainly a fraud offense. It's an offense that Letitia James is exactly doing the right thing. And this judge is sitting there listening to these clowns who went to Wharton, this one, saying he doesn't remember GAAP. He doesn't know if he looked at the financial statement when he had an obligation to not only look at the financial statement and certify it, but certify the accounting protocols leading up to it. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
The Shaw, WAUK. The journey to a smoke-free life can be difficult. Kick the habit with the help of Vape Walkie. Vape Walkie isn't just a vape shop. They're a community, and their knowledgeable staff can assist you in finding the perfect products to suit your needs. With a wide variety of vaping products at the best prices, they cater to everyone from novices to cloud enthusiasts. Mention this ad and join the rewards program to receive 100 free points when you sign up.
Vape Walkie, 215 Oakton Avenue, Suite C in Pewaukee.
Call 262-696-6620 or log on to vapewalkie.com. To find more.
It's the final home game of the season for Carroll University football this Saturday, November 4th. The Pioneers will also celebrate Senior Day as the Big Blue of Millikan University visits the Schneid. You can catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny, pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Carroll versus Millikan for the final home game this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines, Jack Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, if all of our cabinet-level officers are paid $1 for their salary, one wonders, you know, who's going to be able to afford to move to Washington, D.C. and take those offices unless you're a millionaire or a billionaire? And then guess who they're going to represent? The other half of that is, if an ordinary person or even someone that's upper middle class takes one of those jobs at a dollar a year, where's the rest of their money going to come from? Oh, yeah, gee, I wonder. So
right.
I think that's also part of the equation here. Of course, the main thing is the usual Republican thing, but it's gone. I mean, it used to just be a dog whistle, you know, snicker, snicker, get the government so small we can drown it in a bathtub. Nobody ever believed it would, you know, they'd ever be able to do that. Well, that's exactly what they're trying, literally, at this point. And it's their process for probably since Reagan, if not before. Break the government, destroy it as much as possible, create as much chaos, and then try to blame the Democrats. One wonders when enough people are going to wake up and say, this has got to stop. We all depend on the government for everything from law enforcement to building roads. It's got to stop sometime. And you just wonder when people are going to wake up and say, yeah, we've had enough of this.
Right. No, it's an excellent comment. And, you know, I'll tell you something else about it. The original phrase that was coined in the 1980s under Reagan was starving the beast. That's what they called it. The government is the beast. They're going to starve it, not to give it food and get skinny and then ultimately die or just be skin and bones. And you see people going around now who really don't know a lot of history, and they also don't give a lot of thought to this. And they so a local control, even though this is a party that has destroyed local control, they'll say local control. They'll say we got to stop waste and fraud, you know. And quite frankly, what's happening is they are knifing the government in the back is what they're doing. And they, you're right, they're trying to create chaos. They're trying to create chaos in voting, and then ultimately chaos that drives them back into office so they can finish off their dirty work. Thanks for calling. We're going back to the line, Stephanie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. What's in your mind today?
Thank you, Matt, for this wonderful show. And I want to agree with Wisco Paul was saying how many smart callers there are that call. Here's my question, and I have my own thoughts about it. It is important to know history. What is that process? What are the elements to really know history, to have a truthful, a clear understanding of history? You know, I mean, I do have my own thoughts, but I'd rather hear what you and other callers have to say. I mean, all I can quickly say is that you really You don't always know you're doing it, but you have to really be open-minded. It's hard to see, you know, your own bias, but it's talking, getting different points of view, reading, but knowing about the people who are writing the histories or the whatever it is that you're reading. And with that, I just wanted to put that out here as a seed question and maybe get your response and other people's response. So anyway, thank you, Matt.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie. That's a very, very interesting question. And here's my view. A lot of times, it depends on what your age is and where you are in life, you're not going to have time to go back and take formal courses and all that. I fully understand that. But there's a couple of things. If you are, I think it's 60 or 62, there's a law in Wisconsin that says you can audit with the professor's permission any course in any campus. So wherever you are, Eau Claire, Stevens Point, Milwaukee, Madison, wherever, Whitewater, you can look online through their course offerings and see something that interests you in the history department. Some area of the world, some conflict, some history. And then go down there and register. Walk into the registrar's office and they'll give you a form. The professor will sign it. You don't have to take the exams and you don't have to do the papers and you don't have to show up every day either. You can go on vacation if you want. Just sit there and listen. I've audited two medieval history courses at UWM and a modern European history course. And even though a lot of that material I'd studied before, I learned something new. The second thing I'll say is this. Stay involved in current events. Even if you're just listening to this show, even if you're just listening to any show, even if you're watching the news at night, even if you're reading a newspaper, in paper or online, just do it. Be up on current events. And the third thing I'll say is, there must be somebody in history you've heard of. I don't care who it is. It can be George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. It can be Charlemagne. It can be Julius Caesar. It can be anything. And yeah, you're always curious about it. I was always curious about Paul McCartney. So what you do is, and my dad gave me this tip, go to a bookstore or go online, Amazon, the biography section, and just read a biography of them. It's for pleasure. It's sort of like People magazine. You learn about their private lives, what they put up with. But in the course of it, you will absorb the history of that time period. So I read Paul McCartney, very, very interesting guy. But he was born in the 1940s, as was I, although he's older. But in it, I got a history of Great Britain after the war. After the war, they were in decline economically, what their foreign policy challenges were. And essentially, it was modern British history in the guise of reading about Paul McCartney. And there were some great ones. His father was very anti-monarchist, didn't think there should be a king and queen. And he didn't like the fact that people were knighted. And Paul McCartney, which is funny now because he is a knight, he's Sir Paul McCartney, he went to his father and said, "Do you think ever someday I will be made a knight and be called Sir McCartney?" Because they were very poor. And his father said, "Son, always remember that Sir is spelled C-U-R. That was his dad. So you get these kind of anecdotes. We come to the end of the show. A great show. Great callers as always. Stand by for another great show. Dom and Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.